Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. This is Bill Paravano, the Knee Pain Guru, and today we have a special guest on the phone. Her name is Rita Hamilton, and she is dealing with some knee pain issues. So first of all, I'd like to welcome you on the call, Rita.
Thank you.
And would you just kind of share your story, the history of what you got going on with your knees?
Okay. Essentially, I turned 60 in April, and I have told myself basically all my life I couldn't run. And then I decided at that point it was time to put up or shut up. So I got myself a coach, a running coach, and I started off. We started out by doing sort of the 5-1 walk, run 1, and then worked our way up to 10-1. Which I have been running now for 5 months. Initially, a tremendous amount of achiness in my knees. I was told basically that that was a process and I just have to keep at it and it would work itself out. To this point, within the last week or so, I'm not finding as much achiness. But there was a point in about the third month where it was waking me up at night. It was aching so badly.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to have mitigated a bit. I have a what they call patellar femoral syndrome in my left knee.
Mm-hmm.
In my left knee, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a band for that, but I really, truly would like to get away from wearing the band. I'd like to strengthen that knee to the point where I didn't need the band.
Okay.
Now, how they explained that to me was that my kneecap basically was riding outside the parameters of where it should be, and that was causing irritation.
Got it.
That's one. The other is just basically I want to strengthen those knees to the point where even now sometimes after I've run, I will come home, and going up and down stairs, it's not, oh, Lord, I can't walk. But certainly there's a tension there, and it's not painful. It's not excruciating, but there's definitely there's a tension and kind of, if I put my foot down, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue I'd like to settle.
Got it. And Rita, could you tell me, was there any experience of discomfort or anything in the knees before you started running?
Actually, in my right knee, I'm not quite sure what I did, but I worked with a chiropractor for a couple of months to sort of try and sort it out. I was changing the filter in my furnace, and I knelt down, and something in my right knee popped.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that I can possibly describe it, and I basically worked with it on my own for a couple of weeks, and when I realized it wasn't improving, then I went to see the doctor, and he referred me to the chiropractor, and then we just started working with it. But it was very very swollen and very inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
Now that seems to have, again, it is getting better. I almost can get my heel back to my right glute, but I'm a little short.
Okay.
But before I could hardly get my foot off the floor.
Okay.
So it's come a long way.
Okay, so let me talk this back to you to make sure I got the picture correct.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you have some from that when you popped your right knee from the furnace.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some difficulty getting your right heel to your right glute.
Yeah.
And then with your left knee, you have the patellofemoral issue.
Right.
With the kneecap not tracking properly.
Mm-hmm. That's been there for a number of years.
Okay.
I only discovered the patellar band last year when I was down in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And it definitely has helped, but I think after going through your book, I really feel that if I work that program, I should be able to perhaps strengthen it to where I might not need the band.
Got it.
That would be the ideal for me.
Well, of course, absolutely.
And I also have fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia.
I have fibro. Yeah, that's kind of an issue. And exercise for me is a bit of Russian roulette. too much can be very quickly arrived at over not enough. The line is very fine, and I have to make sure that I regulate it so I'm not undoing myself.
Got it. Absolutely. Yeah. And in moderation, of course, is really important, no matter if it's just the knees or just the fibromyalgia or both. It's really important because sometimes we can push our bodies too much. And that's what I have found, even in my own experience. I refer to it, we kick our own butts best. You know, we really have this self-abusive gene going on, and it's like, well, we do things almost in spite of ourselves.
That's something that's
very important to gauge. One of the things that really comes to mind, or that's really popping out when you're talking about, is you know the old expression when they say, well, if you can't raise the bridge, you lower the river?
I've never heard that one before.
Okay, well, let me try another one.
Well, no, that makes perfect sense.
Sometimes it's not about creating something or making something stronger. In referring to your knees.
Right.
Picture this. All of a sudden you wake up one morning and you have pain in your knees. And you'll go to a healthcare professional and they will say, well, you need to strengthen the muscle here. And that can be very valid in certain instances. However, if you went to sleep and then you woke up, it wasn't like you suddenly got weak overnight.
Right.
Something else may be pulling tighter.
It's a cumulative thing.
It's a cumulative thing, exactly. So it's not so much that we need to strengthen what is loose. It's more along the lines we need to loosen what's tight and bring balance back into the body. Is that making sense?
Yeah, and I can tell you, seeing the chiropractor, very, very, I can think of maybe 2 months out of a year where I'm not locked in my left SI joint. That just seems to be an area, and I can't even begin to tell you what I do to lock it. But those 2 months, whatever I'm doing, when it's not locked, I wish I knew so I could continue to do them. But I really don't have any idea what the difference is between the 10 months and the 2 months.
Got it. And a lot of times there are emotional connections we have with, you name it, the weather.
Okay.
It could be relationships. It could be something like from the past. It just reminds us of that time of the year that something happened in our body continues to create tension or actually loosen up as a result of these situations.
This almost sounds like EFT.
There's such a connection that I've found with the knees, with the rest of the body, and there's so many levels and layers to understanding what is happening with the knees. And it connects. We can't separate the knees and say, well, if I just address what's going on in my knees, then my knees will go away. It's important to look at the relationship of the knees with the feet and the ankles, the knees with the hips and the lower back, the knees with the shoulders. Because whenever your body is experiencing pain, tension, or discomfort in the knees, it has a relationship with other parts of your body.
Okay.
Meaning, your body needs to, like your knees don't just tense up. Your whole body has to hold a tension pattern in order for the knees to feel the way they do.
Yes, I'll buy that because my registered massage therapist said that she doesn't even have to wonder where she needs to go when we have an appointment because a great majority of mine, well, right now since I've started running, it's my ITs are tight.
Uh-huh.
And I've started using a foam roller for that. It's not fun, but it works.
Uh-huh.
It does not make me very happy when I do it, but, you know, I do feel better after. And I've started rolling my quads and hams as well.
Uh-huh.
So that seems to be helping.
And the foam roller is an absolutely very good tool to use.
Okay.
There's also other ways.
Okay.
Like we were talking about, instead of raising the bridge, we lower the river. Instead
okay.
of all of those spots that are tight, we can go ahead and we can dig in there to get them mm-hmm. to loosen up.
Okay.
Or we can also understand what's going on, understand that tension pattern.
Okay.
And by using what is referred to as comfortable body positioning, taking
okay.
the body to a position of comfort, the tight IT band, the pain in the knees, the discomfort you feel in your SI joint will go away on its own without having to fight it, without having to struggle, without having to roll it and be in lots of pain.
Right. I could go for that.
Because what we focus on expands. So if we're focusing on pain, meaning if we're digging in there to try to get those spots to loosen up,
mm-hmm.
our focus is on pain. Whereas if we focus on comfort, that is, we're loosening the tight tension patterns, the body goes back into balance on its own without us having to fight it to do so.
I have a question for you, Van. Do you feel like the fibromyalgia may be a basis for a lot of what's going on with me?
It can be very much so. And I do believe that whenever there's a situation like fibromyalgia, there is a systemic thing that is going on. And it manifests in different ways.
Mm-hmm. People have asked me on numerous occasions what it feels like to have fibromyalgia, and what I've experienced over the many, well, 12 or 13 years I've had it, in talking to other fibromyalgics, is that everybody experiences it very differently. Some people, like, they can't get up, they can't get dressed, they can't feed themselves. Me, I'm the exact opposite in the sense that I am always up, I'm always doing, I'm always out. And what I found out about 5 years ago is if I want to feel good, I have to exercise. If I do not exercise, I do not feel good. The absolute worst thing for me to do would be to lie around all day.
Mm-hmm.
I would be in pain that I would be just beside myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I have the added little fillip that I can't take pain medication.
You and me both.
I am not currently medicating for the fibro, and I've had so many people say, well, then you don't have it. And I just kind of look at them and say, well, if you think there aren't mornings that I could get up and crawl under the bed instead of get up and face the day, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just very stubborn, I guess. I will not let that run my life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't see why it should. But tell me more about this comfortable body position. That intrigues me.
Are you familiar with the Chinese finger games, those Chinese finger traps? Maybe
no.
When you were little, you put your fingers in the web mesh, and you put your fingers in the two ends of the game. It's like a tube.
Okay.
And if you pull, your fingers are on either end of this web meshing, and if you pull it apart, it makes it tighter.
Okay.
And if you push it together, it actually loosens up the game, which allows you to pull your fingers out.
Right.
Do you know what I'm speaking of?
I think I do. Like, I when you said, you know, Chinese pain game, I'm thinking, what? But as you were describing it, I'm thinking, yeah, I've seen something like that.
Okay. I could use other examples if that one doesn't work.
Well, that makes perfect sense. You pull it tight, it hurts.
Exactly. And this is what's happening in your body.
Ooh.
This is what happens with the tight IT band, the pain in the knees, the discomfort you experience in the SI joint, that your body is holding on to a tension pattern to protect itself from being injured further. So let's say you're when you knelt down by your furnace, and that pop in your knee, and it caused pain and swelling.
Right.
Well, your body tensed up to protect itself from being injured further from that pain in your knee. It's a functional tension pattern for that injury, for when you were kneeling down in that situation.
Okay.
It's dysfunctional for you to go back into your life without the pain, tension, and discomfort that you're feeling. That inability of your knee or your heel to be able to flex back to your glute.
Okay.
So, we are a sum total of all of the experiences that have happened our entire life.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
I know, it's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yes, it's very scary.
So, what happens is, that's the body that's injury compensation. That's the body going from tension pattern to tension pattern to tension pattern.
Okay.
And what happens is, they end up referring to that as old age. As we get older, we get tighter, we get stiffer. And the solutions that we have are, well, we need to stretch, or we need to ice it, or we need to use the foam roller to roll that out.
Right.
However, we're fighting the tension patterns that our body is holding on to keep us safe.
Okay, how does one unlock that particular box?
Right. Okay, I just wanted to get the picture in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like the Chinese finger trap, that Chinese finger game, what we can do is begin to shorten those tension patterns by putting the body in a position of comfort. And then we wait for our nervous system to begin to unwind and let go of that tension that it's holding on to. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if I'd watched a couple of your testimonials, and I was watching what you were doing with the gentleman's knee, and it was almost like you were putting it, placing it, and then just holding it, and you said it was like if he felt kind of a flutter, it was as the nervous system reacting.
Right.
And I found that kind of intrigued me. I actually was sitting there kind of trying to do it with my own knee because I was thinking, well, okay, that kind of makes sense. Let's see if, but I think I didn't have the right, like I couldn't put the right twist on it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah,
so,
that makes sense.
So what we're doing is, if you've ever been to the doctor, and the doctor has tapped your knee with one of those little rubber mallets, those little hammers to check your reflexes, and your knee jumps and you can't control it.
Right.
When I was taking that person's knee in the video and twisting it and taking it to a position of comfort, we're engaging the same reflexes like when the doctor taps your knee with that rubber mallet and your knee jumps. The same reflexes engage that begin to allow your body to unwind the tension patterns that are causing the discomfort in your knee, in your IT band, and in your SI joint.
Huh. Now, is any of that related to overuse?
Overuse to the extent that your nervous system is in a fight, flight, or freeze mode.
Okay.
So let's say you're running a long distance, which in and of itself, running a long distance is not bad. However, let's say you didn't get a good night's sleep the night before, and your body is already kind of tired, and now you're running that long distance. And you're just like, I just feel like stopping, yet you're pushing yourself through.
Right.
Well, your body is you may hit a stone, you may hit a crack in the pavement or something like that, and all of a sudden your body kind of tweaks a little bit, and then you feel like a little twinge in your lower back as a result.
Okay.
Well, that is a tension pattern going from your feet all the way up to your head that your body held on to protect itself from being injured further, from you possibly turning your ankle or twisting your knee or falling.
Okay.
And these mini traumas, so to speak, begin to build up in the nervous system. And now the body begins to get stiffer, and it gets more difficult and more challenging to stretch and to rest at night. And all of those things that you're experiencing are the buildup of that stuff in the nervous system.
Okay.
Is this making sense?
Yeah, it's making a great deal of sense, actually.
Cool.
I find myself still asking the question, okay, what do we do about this?
Okay. Well, first I would like to see, well, where would you like to be in like 6 months down the road? If you could have your body just how you'd want it, what would that look like?
I would like to be a great deal more flexible than I am. My flexibility level is not fantastic, although I do a stretch that just causes my friends to freak. What I do is sort of lean back against the wall and then crawl down the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that just drives them nuts. They said, you're going to snap your back. Like, don't do that. I can do that. But when it comes to flexibility in my groin area, I got none. And I have never had any, even from a very small child. Possibly, I'm wondering if as a youngster I had rickets. And I think perhaps that it has maybe played a little bit of hob with my skeletal system. Because until I was about late teens, I was extremely bow-legged.
Uh-huh. And other than the flexibility, would there anything you would be able to do that you can't do now?
Well, I basically would like to be able to go out and make an attempt at any sport I chose to. I'm not really a sports-minded person, but I cycle. So I guess gaining strength so I can go distances. I'm planning a bicycle trip out west in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to have the strength and the energy to be able to complete that trip.
Mm.
And I don't know
nice.
If that has anything to do with what we're talking about or not, but I just... Basically, the reason I exercise is because I know I'm getting older, and I do not want to be somebody who's sitting in a rocking chair at 80 going, oh, me, oh, my, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go out there and live top flight.
Nice, nice. And to have your knees and your body feeling like that 6 months down the road, what would that do for you to have that flexibility, to be able to jump on the bicycle or not feel that achiness in your structure?
That would probably make me a big loudmouth about the benefits of exercise to anybody and everybody that wanted to listen.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I'm already a bit of a mouthpiece now, but it probably would make me worse.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I keep trying to preach this whole routine to my husband, and he just looks at me and goes, when I feel like exercising, I lay down until the urge goes away. And I said, fine, I'm going to put that on your tombstone.
Yeah. So if your knee pain was gone, and what changes would you notice in other areas of your life besides the sports?
I think it probably would help me center better. Now, I do meditate daily, but I think that there would be, perhaps it would decrease my distractibility factor. Because I'm one of these people who can walk into a room and see eight things that all need doing at the same time. And sometimes I don't know if it would have this effect, but sometimes I find it very difficult to focus or concentrate on things.
Especially if you're experiencing the pain. Yeah.
I guess. I never really thought that those two things were associated. I just thought it was a function of my character.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be interesting. It would be very interesting to me to see if that did make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And probably just be a little calmer, too.
Mm-hmm. And of all of those things, what would be the best part of it?
I think likely being calmer and centered, more centered, because if you're calmer and centered, then you take that out into everything else that you do.
Mm-hmm. So, Rita, for a moment right now, just close your eyes and visualize yourself that 6 months down the road, and you have that flexibility in your body. You don't have to think about your knees anymore. How does that feel?
Wonderful.
Nice.
That would be wonderful. I mean, I've had people say, you know, running, you're going to wreck your back, you're going to wreck your knees, you're going to be in worse shape than you've ever been in your life. And I'm looking at them and going, no, I'm not. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it slowly, I'm doing it cumulatively, I'm not going out there and trying to run a marathon in 2 months of training. But having said that, you know, I'm not a 21-year-old anymore. And
mm-hmm.
I keep telling people, don't let the word age in your head, because the second you do, you're skunked.
Yeah.
If you think you're old, you will be old.
Mm-hmm.
I know very well that my body is not what it was 40 years ago. However, I see no reason to crawl into a rocking chair at this point in my life.
Right.
I want to be able to live fully.
Mm-hmm. So, Rita, what do you think might be getting in your way of getting rid of your knee pain?
I tend to push when maybe I shouldn't. Like, I think how I describe myself is not a quitter.
Mm-hmm.
So as a consequence, sometimes when I maybe should stand down, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say that's probably more often than sometimes.
Right.
I have this personality that wants to run before it walks. And I have spent, and I think this probably has some bearing on it too, I have spent all my life proving myself. Because I'm 4'11", very tiny, well, petite. People tell me I'm tiny, petite.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in my life seem to have looked at me and said, oh, weak link in the chain, let's push. We can, you know, push her buttons and make her go sky high. So all my life I felt like I've had to prove that I'm not that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't take criticism terribly well. Although as I've gotten older, I'm learning. If it is constructive criticism, I'll accept it. But
mm-hmm.
if it's critical just for the sake of criticizing, it really pushes my pyrotechnic button.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. It bothers me.
And is there anything else that might be getting in the way? Are you getting rid of your knee pain?
Oh, I can think of a couple of relationships that might be not doing good things.
Okay.
Just, I guess I find it difficult. My husband tells me I'm a realist, or not a realist, a idealist.
Uh-huh.
So in the ideal world, things would happen the way that I would have them happen, but this is not an ideal world. And sometimes I feel very challenged living in the world as it is. Like, I've made the comment on numerous occasions, like you'll hear people say, you know, well, oh, well, I cheated on my income tax, or I did this, or I did that, or, you know. And I just, I go ballistic. I cannot believe that people do things like that. And so there's always that kind of dichotomy of me thinking what's right and then hearing other people doing things that completely transgress or contravene what I believe. And I'm trying, and I find myself constantly trying to, like, I'm in a stutter step all the time trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that that probably sits in my body, if you will, or my emotions. I'm constantly trying to fix that dichotomy and make it so that it's acceptable, and really it never will be acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So. Oh yeah, so, I'm a very diverse ball of wax.
And that's a good thing. And Rita, I want to let you know that all the stuff that you're dealing with are actually very common. Lots of people have these types of challenges.
Oh, I know. I've talked to many of them.
And I've worked with lots of people that have that have encountered that these same types of issues.
Mm-hmm.
So how is knee pain impacting other areas of your life, possibly business or relationships, family?
Well, sometimes it'll slow me down, and when it does, I get crotchety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take the time to be sick. It's just not in my life plan.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for me, sometimes it happens. Although I do have to tell you, I started exercising really seriously about 10 years ago. And
mm-hmm.
my physical health has been extremely, much, much better. I went through a period of 6 years where I had bronchitis and or pneumonia every single winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the sixth year, I just looked at my husband one day and said, this is not going to be the rest of my life. I'm
mm-hmm.
not living this way. And so the exercise definitely has been a very, very large positive in my life. And I think this sort of knee issue, I think part of it, I feel, is related to the running. But it's just, I never really thought about the other side of it. I wasn't thinking about tension patterns or any of that kind of thing. It just,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, well, I went out and ran 10K today. No wonder my knees ache. And I just more or less accepted that that was part and parcel of what was going to happen, and I just had to get on with it.
Mm-hmm. So other than you had said April you had started running,
yeah.
How long has the knee pain been? How long have you been dealing with the knee pain?
I'd say off and on probably most of my life. But just, you know, I mean, you do things that as a kid you fall. I was constantly falling out of trees and out of hay mows. And I just, for a long time, I'd say for about 20 years, I always thought of myself as a klutz. Because
mm-hmm.
I would be continually falling or tripping over. And, I mean, I could walk across a bare room and fall over my own 2 feet. And, you know, people would look at me and laugh, and I'd just say, oh, well, there I go again. I'm a klutz. But it didn't ever particularly occur to me that there was anything larger or deeper than that going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of thought of myself as someone who wasn't very coordinated.
And Rita, in your defense, when the body is holding lots of tension, it's very difficult for it to balance.
Okay.
You think of
well,
it
that
like
makes
a person.
Me feel better.
No, if you think about a person like a trapeze artist,
right.
They have to balance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it if they stood very stiff how long would they be able to balance? How quickly would they fall?
Probably sooner than later.
Much quicker, sure, absolutely. And this is the same thing when we walk. The more tension we have in our bodies, the more that we have these dysfunctional tension patterns that are protecting us from an old injury that no longer applies,
mm-hmm.
this causes us difficulty with walking, with movement, with coordination, with all of those things. Because we're talking about the nervous system, the proprioceptive nervous system, where it tells us we are in time and space.
Okay.
So
I basically, the first time I saw a registered massage therapist was probably about 12, 15 years ago. And for the first year that I saw her, I would go out to my car after and I would sit and cry for about half an hour because I hurt so badly from the work that she had done. But her statement to me after seeing me for about 3 appointments was, I have no idea how you even can walk. She said, your muscles are almost rigid. And she said, the very fact that you're walking is nothing short of miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I've come a long way since then, but apparently in listening to you, I've discovered I have a further distance to travel.
Oh, Rita, definitely a journey, definitely.
Well, I'm 15 years into this one. I guess I can go another 15.
So let me ask you, what does the knee pain cost you? Like in actual monies or opportunity costs of things that you would have loved to have done in your personal life and relationships?
Well, I can't really say that it's cost me anything money-wise because I... Oh, well, no, I shouldn't say that. It got a little pricey seeing the chiropractor, but it was something that I could see... Like he did adjustments. He adjusted my hip, my knee, my ankle, my feet. So we were kind of got that all squared away, or at least back in better balance. And so yeah, that money wise was a little ouch. But relationally, I wouldn't say that there's been any cost. And I mean, I'm a chair massage practitioner, and. It has not stopped me really from working at this point in time. I just, when I go out and work 5 hours, I come home and I know darn well the first thing I'm doing when I go through the door is on my back, feet up the wall for about 20 minutes and then into an Epsom salts bath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've discovered certain things that will take the edge off, and I flatly refuse to medicate for anything. I have to be. I would have to be almost comatose before I would take a pain pill.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. So you were talking about the chiropractor. What can you give a ballpark on what you think you might have worked with? What that might have cost you?
Probably about 500.
Got it. So if your knees were back to normal again, what would that do for you? Back to where you wouldn't have to think about them at all.
Well, then I could go out and be Tigger.
You could be Tigger, excellent.
If I didn't have to worry about my knees, now, and this is something I should ask, my knees, you know, yeah, ouch sometimes, but I also find the soles of my feet are tender. Now, I'm imagining that that's from the running. I did go out and buy a very good pair of shoes, which I'm told I'm going to have to do again if I continue to run, which is fine. I've accepted that as part of what I do. I don't know, again, I don't know whether it is, a lot of what seems to be my problems is the joints being stiff or like achy. I think I might potentially have a bit of arthritis in one of my fingers. But again, I just keep manipulating it, playing the piano, knitting, doing anything that keeps my hands busy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my way of doctoring, is just stay busy.
Mm-hmm. So, having all of those aches and pains gone, what would be the best part about it?
I could just go out and live and not have to worry about it.
Cool. So, Rita, one of the things that we talked about was taking the pressure off of those areas, taking the body to a position of comfort. And in the position of comfort, the body begins to heal. The body begins to let go of that tension. And part of it is what you're able to do, and this is something that's really simple, quick, and easy that can help with your knees, is before you're going to sleep, and this is something that I suggest to many of my clients, is that you just put a pillow underneath your knees.
Okay.
Now, it sounds like almost too simple.
Yeah.
However, what happens is, when your knees are tender, when it's difficult to put that pressure on your knees, put the pressure on your legs, it's because the knees are holding a tension pattern when they're bent. Like, the body immediately wants to go to that kind of fetal position. And this is an over-exaggeration of what's going on in your knees. However, there's that part where the body wants to pull the knees up and kind of want to curl forward. That beginning, that bending of the legs, is that tension pattern that I was talking about that your body holds on to. By putting a pillow underneath your knees before you go to sleep, that begins to create comfort in your knees.
Okay. Now, would you put the pillow under the knee or between?
Under.
Because I'm a side sleeper.
Now, I'm not saying that you'd sleep the entire night this way.
Okay.
I'm just saying maybe 10 to 15 minutes before you go to sleep.
Oh, okay. So you'd be on your back with the pillow under your knees?
On your back with the pillow underneath your knees.
Okay.
And what this is going to do is it's going to begin to re-educate your nervous system to understand what comfort is. Now, your role in that is very important as well. The more you're able to get into that meditative state, that place where you just kind of let your mind go, you let your body go, and you focus on your breathing, that's going to facilitate the body's ability to let go of that tension that's going on in your knees.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so 10 to 15 minutes. Now, I'm betting there's a kind of a breathing pattern here, too.
You just want to let your breath go in and out. You don't want to force the breath at all.
Okay. So it's not like diaphragmatic breathing or anything like that?
The more you can relax your breathing and the more you can fill up your entire torso with the breath, that's going to be beneficial. However, you really don't have to force it. As your body begins to relax and let go of this tension, the breathing is going to become more and more natural and more easy.
Okay. Oops. I just put between instead of under. Okay. You're right. That does sound terribly simplistic.
However, as simple as it sounds, if that's the tension pattern that's going on in your body, which I do believe it is, that's going to facilitate your body's ability to let go of what's going on in your knees.
Now, is this related to knees only, or was this because that SI joint, when it really gets miserable, I get that, it almost feels like right at the top of the iliac crest, it's almost like I've got an acetylene torch. Just a little above the iliac crest, it feels like I've got an acetylene torch and it's just blasting. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way I figured out how to feel better with that, and I guess this is your position of comfort, is to lie on my back and pull my knees into my chest. And if I stay that way for about 5 minutes, I can get up and the acetylene torch is gone.
Mm-hmm. Then I would stick with doing that. I think that would definitely be beneficial for you.
So is this kind of a matter of discovering, you know, like you're talking to me about tension patterns, and I'm sitting here thinking, oh, yeah, okay, well, yeah, maybe. So it's kind of perhaps having more of an awareness of the tension patterns and then finding something that will bring myself back into the position of comfort?
Correct.
Like, I guess what I'm asking is it up to me to find those things? Are there things out there that would be not prescribed, that's not the word I want to use, but would be sort of things that have already been done that I could use?
Absolutely. And that's something like I'd like to get in way more in depth with you after the call.
Okay.
We can talk about that, and I could tell you some specific things.
Okay.
And other than that, do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. You've set off a whole chain of events in my head. So I'm one of these people that I do a lot of reading, I do a lot of research, and I'm constantly sort of on the outlook for different things, and I can see this spawning quite another little journey all its own.
Mm-hmm.
So question-wise, no, I don't think so. It's given me lots to think about.
Mm-hmm. So for those that are listening to this call, if you would like to have more information, you can go to freekneepainreport.com and you can download a copy of my free report where I go into details of the 5 key components that I believe are crucial for you getting rid of your chronic knee pain. So, Rita, I'd like to thank you so much for being on the call.
Thank you.
And you did a great job. And I will see everyone next time. Okay, Rita.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Good.
Cool. Okay, you gave me some great information. You have, of course, lots of stuff going on, and of course that is not something that is unfamiliar to you. You're quite well aware. You seem like a very aware person, which is really cool.
Well, I try to be. sometimes people who know me think I'm a little hyper.
Uh huh.
And I'm a lot calmer than I used to be.
Mhm. Well, I think I have something. There's something that comes to mind, and I'll throw it out to you. I have a program that's specifically designed for individuals in your situation with the same type of challenges that you're experiencing as far as the knee pain, as far as the IT band, as far as the SI joint, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a one-on-one coaching program. Would you like to hear more about it?
Oh, I'll listen, for sure.
Okay. What it is I have found that one of the biggest challenges in understanding how to rid the body of chronic pain, especially chronic knee pain, has been knowing what is the next step to take. There's so much information out there, and it can be very confusing and very overwhelming. And what I've done is I've gotten a coaching program that is basically takes you step by step from where you are to where you would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it really simple and really easy. Because I've already been there, because I've been through my own experience with chronic knee pain. And because I've worked with a number of clients over the past 10 or so years, getting them out of knee pain, I pretty much got it down to figuring out what is the next step the person needs to take. Mm-hmm. And in your case, what I'm looking at is not so much that you need to strengthen your knees that much more. What we need to do is relax the tension, relax those tension patterns that are going on that are causing your knees to squeeze tight. And that interferes with the nerves in the knee joint, sending a signal to your brain that you have pain in your knee, tight IT band, tight SI joint, discomfort in your SI joint.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done in my virtual clinic, I have 70-plus videos, I think, in there now. And basically what it is we would work on a one-on-one basis, and from week to week, I would point out specific videos that would teach you which is the next step you need to take. This next week, you need to focus on these next four videos, and you need to practice what's in those videos in terms of relaxing the tension patterns that your knees are displaying from this week, and then we're going to take a look at how that's changed on next week's call.
Mm-hmm.
Is this making sense?
It makes sense. I got your book, Stop Knee Pain Now.
Uh-huh.
And the ebook, and I'm going to go through that. Now, I know that the virtual clinic was offered, but unfortunately, I don't have $20 a month to devote to it. So that unfortunately is just my financial reality.
Got it.
I have to, there are other things I have to look after, and I mean, yes, looking after my body, certainly if I don't look after it, I'm not going to be able to do other things. But at this time, I cannot commit to that much financially in a month.
Sure.
So, you know, but I'm definitely, I have the ebook. I'm definitely going to go through it, and since I picked it up, I have read, I'd say half of it, and I've upped my water during the day, and I'm finding that seems to be helping a bit. Because as I said, right up until about a week and a half ago, my knees ached some days unmercifully, especially the days I ran. And somewhere along the line in the last couple of weeks, that achiness has stopped. I don't know why, whether I've just, my body's just said, oh, well, let's give up, like she's going to do it anyway, so we might as well quit aching because she's not going to pay attention to us anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what's happened or if it's just that over the term of the running, my legs are getting stronger. I'm not quite sure about that. But I did learn about, no, I'm sure you know this one, the difference between static stretching and dynamic stretching. I wasn't even aware there was a difference. As a matter of fact, I'd never heard of dynamic stretching before. So I certainly am going to put some effort and work into that type of stretching, especially on the days that I'm not running. I will do the static stretching when I come home from my runs, but I was then not stretching the other days of the week. So I think what it's boiling down to for me is stretching every day without fail.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to have to batten down the hatches and get with it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I believe you're committed, and I do believe you'll see changes, and definitely, you know, get through that ebook, absorb that information, and there's a lot in there. There's a lot in the ebook that I believe will definitely benefit you as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very much, I have a friend who calls me the seeker, and it's because I'm always looking for something, be it on the spiritual side, be it on the physical side, be it on the emotional side. There's so much out there that I still don't know and I want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I think I probably will die seeking. just because that's who I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I ever get in the place, I'm going to keep your email, and if I ever get in the place where I can financially afford to do a one-on-one program with you, then I certainly would consider it.
Perfect.
But at this point in time, it's not really feasible.
Yeah, I completely understand. I completely understand.
Now,
I just want you to know. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Is your program then, is like the virtual clinic? So there'd be the $20 a month for that. Then it, what's the fee over and above that?
Oh, as far as the one-on-one coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the one-on-one coaching is $495 per month.
$495 a month?
Yes.
Okay.
And what I do is I include the virtual clinic and all of my other products in with that, because I use those as references.
Okay.
In the one-on-one. Right. So you would have access to all of that.
Okay. Well, that's, like I said, if I ever get myself to that place where I'm fiscally fit enough to to do it. But I really am going to sit down with your ebook and go through it to make sure that I understand the contents of it. And I'll certainly work with what's there for now.
Sure. And know that I'm continuing to put new information up on the website.
Okay.
New stuff, new audios, new videos, and things like that.
Okay.
So I'm doing my best to share as much information as I can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's been great talking to you, Bill.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Not a problem. I've learned, so therefore I'm happy.
Cool. What I'm going to do for taking the time to do the call like we did today,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have my assistant Heidi give you a complimentary all of the videos that are in the ebook.
Mm-hmm.
I also, or all of the pictures that are in the ebook have videos that correspond with them.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have her give you access to those.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Okay.
That's great.
And have that on into the future.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay.